granted, hey, you know, we just kind of rock up, but these guys are here before, you know, all of you, and they're here to serve God because they love Him and honor Him with their gifts and their talents, and we just kind of enjoy it. How good is that? How good is the body of Christ? You know, I remember I was 10 years of age, and I was dragged along by my mother. You can imagine if you're 10, you're dragged along by your mother a lot of places into this warehouse in Kurilpa Street in West End in 1970. I'm not going to tell you the date because then you work at my age. 79. And I was 10 or 11 anyway. I was taken over there, and I walked into this building, and there was a few things that stood out to me. Number one, it was just full of people. And I was like, where all these people come from? And you know, I just began to experience something that up until that point in my life I'd never experienced. I was one of these kind of weird kids, and you already know that because I'm a weird adult, but I was one of these weird kids who kind of had a sense of God long before God was ever personally involved in my life. And my mum was a searcher. She was crazy, but she was a searcher. And she was destined to run into God at some point in her life. And so we were dragged along for the journey. And I experienced this thing that now we understand is the presence of God and the anointing. You know, you've been in a meeting where you're just going, whoa, God is here. And people go, how do you know? And you just go, I don't know how to define it, but I'm telling you, this is something going on here. And I remember being in this meeting as a 10-year-old boy identifying that. And people were getting prayed for at the front. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen. It's like a magic trick. You know, people would come at the front and then just fall over. And I'm kind of looking to see whether there's like an usher tripping them or, you know. And I thought the pastor kind of, you know, touching that pressure point. You know, it's kind of like, and they go, it's like, wow, I want to learn that cool trick. And then that kind of wasn't happening because, see, he was trying to pray for them and they were falling before he even got there. And I was like, what kind of magic is this? You know, just, it was weird. And then something even more remarkable that I observed is I began to look around at the people in the room. I mean, there was old crusty people there. There was young people there. There was big people, there was little people, there were people who looked like they had escaped from mental asylums, and maybe you're sitting next to one today, just look straight ahead, don't even nod. And that's not your husband or your spouse. You know, there were people who were like dressed up in suits, and there were people in like shirts and thongs, and there was a couple of people without shoes on who looked like they were just living rough. And they all came to this one place, and I thought, this is like weird, kind of like church today. Look around at all the weird people around you. I know you're quietly sitting there going, I'm the only one normal here. No, you're not. And I began to watch something incredible happen from the man at the front begin to speak the word of God. And I was 10 years of age as I literally watched this group of broken bones begin to come together. And sinew begin to form. Skin begin to connect them. And they would take hands of the person next to them. Why would they do that? I don't even know you and I'm holding your hand. That's creepy. And then we would pray together. And buckets would come along. And they would be emptying their wallets. Not the wallet of the person next to them. Theirs. And we were clapping and celebrating, not things in our own life, but things in someone else's world, as though it was ours. And we were praying for that relationship like it was my relationship that was broken. And we're pouring our hearts out and worshiping like it was our very last day on earth to worship. And I literally watched this thing, and at 10 years of age, something happened to me. And it ruined me forever. I watched, in my time, the birth of the church. And it blew my mind, as it does to this day, that you are surrounded by people that perhaps you'd never normally hang out with. They're not your kind of people, and yet here they are, family. And you get to choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. Maybe tell the person next to you right now, this is your opportunity. I'm stuck with you. I'm stuck with you. But you can add to that, but you're stuck with me. And mostly I don't bite. So that ruined me for normal in my life. And it started the pathway that led me to be involved in ministry and kind of pursue God in such a greater depth. And my question today that I'd love you to take away, if you're a note taker, this is as good as it gets, so you need to write this down. is this. What will it take to ruin you for normal? What would it take to ruin you for normal? I never forget my sister hearing Pastor Lee share about how she had been involved. You know, remember there was a plane trip, and then they went over and saw some man, and there's this whole story unfolded before she was she. She was just, shh, because we didn't talk about what was happening in Cambodia. Yeah, right. We didn't talk about all the Australian men going over there and messing with kids. And she was happy, you know, Pastor Lee was happy to live her life not knowing anything about that, but then she heard something about it, and it ruined her. Yeah. And she was like, I don't even know what to do. And then remember the statement, but to succumb to the enormity of the problem is to fail the one. And so she says, you know, I can't do everything. But they sat down and they said, Lee, you know, in her, she's not forceful at all. Sat down, we need to do something. What can we do? And they begin to formulate a plan. They had no idea what they were doing, let me tell you. But my sister heard this plan, put her hand up. And you know, you see the send me, I will go. She went. They didn't even have a process. They had no program in place. But she went across as a missionary to Cambodia, the very first one to go across to the She Rescue Home, because she was ruined for normal. And that encounter before she even went so ruined her life that even when she was over there and all the stuff that she went through and nearly even burning out over there, she came back to Australia, and guess what? She's just gone on with life. No, she's ruined. So from that day to today, she still serves in helping NGOs and reach out into the community, because it ruined her. What would it take to ruin you? What would it take for that moment? Maybe you got bought up in a horrible, tragic family situation, and you watched, you know, that abusive dad or that non-present dad, and it ruined you for no one. You said, I will never be that dad. I'm going to change my whole family line. What does it take to ruin us for normal? What a great kind of concept. I never forget, there's a great story in the Bible, and you've read it all before, but you didn't read it like the way I read it. So I'm going to help you this morning, take you through. Peter and John, a couple of guys, and they're businessmen. They were headed to church in September, and they loved Father's Day. And they were just commenting to me last week. They sent me a text and said, how cool was Cole? Crusty old Aussie. So good. Now, if you missed Cole, don't forget, get on Podbean, listen to him. And so they were on their way to church, and because Peter and John are great members of City Point North, they had already paid. You know, one uses the app and one does direct debit. So they didn't have their wallets on them because, you know, it's a cashless society, and there's a guy begging on the side of the road on the way to church. And so this literally happened, you know, apart from the embellishment part of it. They walk past him, and he's asking for alms, and they're feeling very spiritual because they're on the way to church. Do you get it? No, man, I do direct debit. Do you have your wallet? No, man, I just do it on the app. Oh, man, well, we didn't know. Whoa. And so, you know, they step forward and they go, well, we don't really have any cash, bro, but we could pray for you. That's what they did. Like, don't make it more super spiritual than you probably think that you read it. They were like you and me. And they said these words, and we go, silver and gold have I none. They didn't say that. They said, oh, sorry, bro, got no cash. Here, can you get fish and chips, bro? So, bro, we can pray for you, man. Yeah, John, you want to pray? I don't want to pray. You know, you got any oil? I got some castor oil from the car because the car broke down, bro. You know, so this is what they do on their way to church. They just kind of stop for a minute and they just kind of go, oh, Lord, just heal him, eh? I don't know how Peter and John turned into Kiwis, but it was a magical moment for their lives. Oh, heal them, Father. So they just pray in the name of Jesus. And then they were just about to pray the, you know, the Christian prayer that you'd pray? And then they completely lost their mind. And I can imagine John's there agreeing, and halfway through the prayer he's going, what? Because Peter loses his mind. And instead of just praying that nice prayer, he says, this is what I have. Get up in the name of Jesus and walk. And you wouldn't believe what happened, even though you read it. He got up. Well, this was not good, people. They're on their way to church. This guy gets healed. Do you know what happened when you get dramatically healed? I remember watching a lady get healed of being blind. We prayed for her. There's like 4,000 people, maybe. Probably not. I was probably only 10. There's 20 people. No, there's a few thousand people. I'm right on that side of the auditorium. Somebody here is blind. Let's stretch out our hands. We're going to pray for her. They begin to pray for the lady who's blind. And she goes, oh, praise God, I can see. That's what happened. When you get healed, every demon in the southern hemisphere was like, what just happened? That woke some of you up. You're just starting to relax into the message. She got healed. He got healed. The Bible says he went crazy. He was jumping and leaping and praising God. Hey, look at me. I'm a fine new legs. People were going crazy. They're running from everywhere because, like, what in the world is going on? There's such a great crowd that they're going, this is getting awkward. And they lead them across to the park just across the road. And they begin to go, shh, everybody. And they go, there's thousands of people that just begin to preach Jesus. He says, we're in now. 5,000 men make a decision for Jesus Christ in that moment. I mean, this was just on their way to church. You got to remember, they didn't have a great plan and a strategy. We're going to start some evangelism meetings. We need flyers, hey, bro. You know, get some pamphlets. Get some pamphlets. My mum didn't print enough pamphlets, if you've seen. Anyway, you know, just, I need to get the pamphlets out. We get some posters. We'll get on the radio. No, you just need God to encounter somebody's life. And they'll run. So the place is going crazy. And the authorities are called in. And Morayfield police and Kapulchika police are rushing down. What the heck is going on? And they grab these two guys that are up the front. And they're like, we just want, please. Please, everybody, just chill out. We don't want the crazy. Let's just get back to normal. And into this, Acts chapter 4, this is where the scripture came in. Verse 19, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak of the things that we've seen and heard. I love the grammatic tense in this verse. They're not arrogant. They're not going, well, we're not going to do what you say. He says, you know what? We're not trying to be smart. We're not trying to be clever. We don't have any ulterior motive here. You guys are the judges. I know you guys are in charge. You judge that. That's cool. But we can't but say what's happened. We can't but declare what God is doing. It ruined us for normal. Now think about these guys. They were normal men. They weren't Super Spiro. His name wasn't Spiritual Steve or Holy Henry. Hey, Henry. Christ-like Colleen. It was Bad Bob. Rambunctious Richard. I like that word, rambunctious. That's your challenge this week. Use that in a sentence at work. They were business owners. In fact, they were so clever and focused on their business that they were able to take 3.5 years off to travel with Jesus and still have the business function. They had staff. Bet you didn't know that. They probably had to do it. Tax returns, group certificates, superannuation, holiday pay. They had a reputation in the town to uphold. These were responsible parents. Their kids went potentially to the local private school. They just watched them do the flute performance last week and were like, good Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus, they write. Because it wasn't the flute, it was the recorder. Who believes that we should ban the recorder? We need to start a movement, ban the recorder. That is from the pit of hell. That's not true. And if you play the recorder really well, God bless you. You are one of the three people on the planet. They had reputations to protect, but they'd been with Jesus. And slowly but surely, over 3.5 years, we know the story, it ruined them for normal. Something so happened in their world that once when they were busy trying to promote and protect themselves, that Peter, who was like, I'll never deny you, Jesus. And then he was faced with that moment of humanity and it broke him, but it didn't destroy him. He faced absolute moment of failing, but he wasn't a failure. It was, in fact, the very thing that made him. And we try so desperately to cling to normal so that we never experience the highs of pride or the lows of anxiety and depression. And yet somewhere along this journey, you'll bump into Jesus if you just keep walking. Normal. I want to declare war on normal today. Is that okay? Normal's not your friend. Normal, in fact, is your enemy. So to beat my new enemy, normal, I like normal is like beige. If you're wearing beige today, shame on you. Beige. It's not even a real color. Have you ever thought about the question, thought through the question, what is normal? Have you actually thought, what is normal? What does normal even mean? Ask your neighbor today a serious question. Why don't you ask him, are you normal? Just like look at this is your opportunity. Are you? You know, and it's all how you can say it. Are you normal? Are you normal? What do you even say to that? What do you even say when somebody says you're normal? I mean, what's the right answer to normal? Like, yes, all the voices in my head said we are. I've got a slight tick, but that's normal in some places. I began to study out normal as we headed into this topic, you know, because we were like ruined for normal. And I thought, okay, I've been ruined before, you know, pre-Jesus, been drinking and been ruined. So I know what ruined looks like and I know what it means to be ruined for Jesus. But I thought ruined for normal, well, I've got to figure out what normal is first. So I began to study it out and I discovered something quite incredible. And I'll tell you this morning because I love and I trust you and you're very beautiful, wonderful people, though slightly abnormal. But that's okay. But you can't tell anybody. I've discovered something amazing about normal the more that I studied it. You ready? Nobody knows what normal means at all. In fact, if you study psychology and psychiatry, they actually have entire studies and courses against it. So I was like, this is getting really tricky. So I took it back and I began to look at the dictionaries and try to figure out what it was trying to say. And the dictionary, this is the best they can offer what normal is. It's a conforming to a standard, typical or expected. That's what normal is. What does that even mean? What standard? What's typical? Expected where? Who? Like, this is so confusing. The Urban Dictionary gives a better definition. I like this one. It says it's a word made up by a corrupt society. I think that's pretty close. So after studying it back and forward, and I pulled it apart to the root words, you know, from the Latin and the Greek that it kind of originates from and the layers in between all of that, this is what I came up with. the definition of normal. Normal is a construct, imagined or real, mostly to provide impetus to what is abnormal. That's what normal is. Because have you noticed that normal generally only features as a thing when we think or feel outside of our perceived reality? In other words, we react to normal, or somebody will react against you because you're not being normal, whatever normal is, their perception of normal, or you react to your perception of normal. People react to what other people's lives are on Facebook, even though they don't know it, because they're only seeing the highlight reel, but they got it all together and their marriage is great, and you don't know that they're just posting their fake old pictures and he's been addicted to porn for the last 6 years. What's wrong with you? But that's normal. You know, and we kind of, our perceived realities, and we just kind of go, but that's normal. And I begin to explore this because people say, you know, you're not normal because you're not fitting into their ideas or the ideals of society. We just need to get back to normal. Like it's a place that you can go to, as in drive somewhere. Excuse me, yeah, where you headed? To normal. Okay, automatically you're going, there's a lot crazy going on in there. Come on, kids, let's get in the car. We're headed to normal. It's normal to want to get ahead in life. What? Where are you going to get ahead to? You know, like, what? I don't even understand any of these things that we throw out. You know, like my favorite, I pay it out all the time. Love is love. What? What does that even mean? Nobody knows. Everybody just be normal. My wife used to say that. What a silly thing to say at my family table. We're having the pastor over. For God's sake, children, be normal. And the kids are thinking, Dad, you're not being normal. Whatever normal is, you're normal, normal. Just be normal, normal. Okay? No, don't be normal, normal, because that's bad. Be spiritual normal. Do you mean like Sunday normal? Yes, like Sunday morning. Not like 8:30 normal, like 10:15 normal. You know, that's the normal that we want. The normal as we're walking into church. Is that like when you fought with mum and dad the whole way on the car? No, not like that normal. The normal after they greeted us and we got holiness in and around our world. The together normal. Okay, let's get a picture of the normal family. Not that stupid smile. We're going to do this picture 1,000 times until we look normal. I just want a really normal, candid shot. I know it's been 6 hours. Just smile normally. So, this constructed idea of normal is kind of, the more I've studied it, the more it infuriates me, and I just want to slap somebody. Who wants to volunteer? Thank you. God bless you guys. It's the same thing that happened when they brought in competent and not yet competent. Yeah. Do you remember when they brought that in? Yeah. Do you remember you used to pass or you'd fail? Do you remember that? And now, you know, now you're just not yet competent. You know, I'm not unemployed, I'm just not yet jobbed. You know, I didn't get a divorce. No, I'm just not quite married. You know, like, it's so weird, isn't it? And the way they were able to do this is they took whatever the subject was, whatever the situation they were trying to do, they said, okay, what is the absolute minimum we can bring this down to, no lower, no less, until we can say, maybe we can let them on the road. You know, maybe we can say that they kind of have a pass in this. And so we'll say now they're competent. And then even if you don't, they'll tell you the answers because they're so fixated on preserving normal that they'll tell you the answers so that you can say the same thing that they're saying. Yeah. It's a plot, people. Yes. It's a plot. You want to get angry about that because this is exactly what they do to normal. Normal comes in and every single day, you watch the news and get reminded what normal looks like. And so I discovered something and made a decision just a little while back, and it took me a while to work up to it because it was freaky and scary. And over the last week, I stopped watching the news. Yeah. I didn't die. I was surprised. The world kept turning. Not only did I not die, but I didn't care. And I figured something else out. I didn't miss anything except the voice of normal from this world. I just made that shift in my world, and I began to realize that normal was a construct that people had. And here we are, because we're such a beautiful, embracing society. We celebrate diversity. And so when we have somebody who's not normal, we still love them. Oh, bless them. They're not normal, but we love them. And so we celebrate the battler, don't we? And we get them on television, and we clap them, and they get up there, you know, with their, they got one thong on and no teeth, and we say, oh, bless the battler. And, you know, it breaks my heart, because it's disgusting. It's parading them. It's not championing them. And we love them because we're here for the battler. You liar. You stink. Oh, slap. That's why I don't watch the news, because I can't afford new televisions every time I watch this garbage. And you know what else we do? We love to celebrate those that are far above normal. Oh, they're so far above normal. They're like leading experts. So, you know, what's that Grande chick? See, how dare you know that? So Ariana Grande, I just think it's like a latte. The latte chick gets on because she's a great singer. We ask her opinion on relationships. Because you know why we do that? Because we know she's going to answer normal. Because she's not exceptional on her relationship stuff. She just sings. You know, social commentators are people who can't get a real job. Did I say that out loud? Keep that on the podcast. I want the emails to come. Because the reality is that one day you could be a hero, celebrated as this great, overachieving, amazing normal, and they'll clap you into the city, and then before the end of the week, they'll crucify you on a cross. If that doesn't happen, ask what happened to Margaret Court. Here's a question. So Margaret Court got into so much trouble because of her opinion that she always had. She didn't change her opinion in the last few years when the plebiscite came out. She didn't suddenly overnight became a LGBTILHGABCDE. I don't want to be inclusive here. She didn't hate these people. She just said, this is my standard that I've had for years and years and years. But society said, that's not normal. You missed the meeting. We brought it all the way down here. And we're creating the sense of value. And how dare you have an opinion that goes against us. And she went from hero to zero. And they were going to take her off of the end of the arena and everything. Because why? Because normal doesn't like it when you challenge it. Don't you dare challenge normal. It'll make you pay. It'll ruin your reputation. It'll go after your children. Yeah, wow. Our enemy, normal, is deceptive, subversive, and intrusive. It'll get into your relationships, into your marriage, into your business, into your very thought life, and before you know it, you'll be seeking something that you don't even know what it looks like. Just trying to find normal. If all you ever see and hear is normal, then all you'll ever see and hear is normal. That might sound simple, but it's actually really deep when you begin to think about it. If all you're seeing and hearing is normal, you got to question that. And you got to somehow break out of that. Because if that's all you hear and see, that's all you'll hear and see. And it will always absolutely lead to less. It'll always lead to lack. It'll always lead to loss. And into this situation that we're facing, normal, the enemy. Can I say something really full on? The enemy is not the devil anymore. Oh, got quiet in this Presbyterian church. You've been praying against the devil for long enough. Stop it. He's defeated. He's already under our feet. He's not the enemy. He's not a feature. Yeah, but he's a roaring lion. No, no. He walks around like a roaring lion. Yeah, But Jesus came along and pulled his teeth out. Oh, kitty. You're so pathetic. Look at you roaring. Raw, raw. No, you got a far greater enemy. It's called normal. It's called normal. So into this, God really speaks. And I want to kind of keep messing with your heads because you know I love that. In a good godly way, because I'm a very good godly man, though not normal. I want to read this scripture to you this morning from Romans chapter 12, but I'm going to read it backwards. Not like not backwards like that. I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'm going to go into verse 1. And I want you to listen to what God speaks into this. Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 1 in the Passion. Paul writes, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Don't just imitate them. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. How does transformation come? Through the Holy Spirit. And the process is through, listen, a total reformation of how you think. See, the challenge is not that you think, because some of us don't. The challenge is that you're not thinking deep enough. You're not reforming the way that you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices, and live then in holiness, experiencing all the delights, all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. That moment when you begin to understand that we're not called to conform, we're called to transform. We're not called to, you know, to just blend in. We're actually called to stand out. There's a reformation that's supposed to take place in our lives. I like the fact, when you come to Jesus, you know, people go, you're brainwashed. Yes, your dirty old brain gets washed. And then people go, you don't just put your brain up on the shelf. You begin to think deeply. I am so convinced, like Caroline Leaf, that the more you think, you will always come to find Jesus. Because a thinking person understands this doesn't measure up without this. That there has to be something greater than what you perceive normal to be. That's not normal anymore. Broken relationships are not normal. If we change the same-sex thing and that now we have equality in marriages and then we live happily ever after, how come the statistics haven't changed at all? How come we don't hear the great testimonies every single week that suddenly in this community, everything's gotten better? It hasn't changed at all because it's not a process of culture that has to change. It's a process of reformation that has to change. It's not a horizontal. It's a vertical. It's a relationship with God. This isn't normal. I'm not going to call black white and white black because guess what happened? I live in deception and then I'm literally blind to the life that I'm called to live. Because I'm trying so hard to please everybody. You can't even please yourself. So why try? So you need to change the way you think. To be reformed, reformation literally means to bring back to the original condition. To be renewed is to give fresh life or strength to revitalize what once was. To take a chair, strip it back to the timber, sand it all down, put new cushions, new leather on it, start. And you know, I watched when Greg was doing this, and I began to think about this, Greg, because he was doing this, he was restoring a chair for somebody. I thought it was stupid. Just buy a new one. Like, seriously, get on with life, go to Amart. You know, I didn't see the value in it, but it's not mine to see the value in, because the one who owns the chair wanted it restored to what it was always created to be. The one who owned you, who gave birth to you, wants to see you restored to who you are. Aren't you glad now that Pastor Rick is not God? Because he would just get a new you. Looking forward for a new you. There's one. Oh, I like that model. That's all right. Yeah, that one's getting a bit old and crabby. Replace it. God says, no, no, no. I'm going to restore you. So I wrote this down. What happened to us that we would be duped to desire normal when we were created divine? What happened that we were duped to desire normal when we were created divine? That it's so strange to think highly of ourselves.
Oh, the Bible says you can't.
No, it didn't. It said don't think more highly than you ought. Which automatically to me poses the question, how highly should I think of myself then? Because he didn't say don't do it. Kind of like money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. I love having money. I don't love money. Money's just a representation of a value. In and of itself, it won't do anything. I can give you $1 million cash. If you eat it, you won't be satisfied. I'll also follow you around for the next few days. And that which you discard, I will take up and happily wash. Sorry again for the visual people. I just like to be inclusive. So you know, that we try so hard to create this pursuit that we have, but God goes, hang on, stop. You were made divine. You got to remember who you were. See, because I want to ask you, when was the last time you know, you get up and you're walking past the mirror? You know, you... Preach it. Because you're so quick when you do something wrong to go, oh, I'm such an idiot. But I haven't heard you this week when you do something great go, man, I'm fantastic. I'm going to text everybody. Because we say that's not normal. Can I challenge that? Yep. Who said that? I'm going to tell you something. I never said that to you. I've never, in the whole time I've been here, never in all the years I've been a pastor in this place, have ever pulled somebody up for thinking highly of themselves. Wow. Ever. I've never, ever said to you, never from this platform has a word gone out that you ought to humble yourself and think less of yourself. No. The word is humble yourself under God, that He would exalt you. Where's the place that you end up? Exalted. How do you get there? Through debasing yourself. No. Through humbling yourself and seeing yourself as the way that God created you. So how does God see you? He sees you fearfully and wonderfully made. He sees you the head and not the tail. He sees you above and not beneath. He sees you as the apple of His eye. He sees you as a divine creation. So inspired, in fact, that the moment He made you, He threw away the blueprints and said, this person is the best version of them I could ever make, and I'm going to celebrate. And heaven paused for a moment, and they all applauded the Lord because He never spoke you into being. He formed you. That's how divine you are. And you walk around apologizing for your existing on the planet. Monday morning, you ought to walk into work. How are you doing? What's up with you? I just remembered how good I really was. Just keep walking. Don't worry. You don't understand yet. One day you may. The heck got into you? A revelation that I was never called to be normal. I was never good at normal anyway. You're lousy at normal. What's wrong with you? Stop trying to be normal. You're made divine. Man, I can't help it. I'm preaching today. Let's get the band up here. Stop trying to find normal. Stop measuring yourself against normal. Stop believing there is a normal. Stop being bullied by normal. Stop listening to normal. Stop looking for normal. Stop letting the media tell you what normal is because they don't know. Stop it. Stop looking for normal's approval. Stop looking for a confirmation from normal. What would it take today? Remember the question, what would it take today to ruin you for normal? It takes a revelation. But that's just a part of the reformation and the renewal process that God wants to begin in your world. And as the band comes, I want to give you the challenge today. For the note takers, this is very important because you've just sat there the whole time with your pen ready and you're going, good Lord, I've got nothing to put down. I like it, but I don't have anything on my paper. Let me give you the challenge today. You ready in these last couple of seconds? Is that okay? Can I just land this plane? What do you speak? That's the question. What do you speak? Because this identifies where you are. Absolutely. And don't get your knickers in a knot if you're speaking garbage or if you're speaking out of hurt or you're tearing others down. It just identifies where you are. You know, it's okay. You know, don't try to pretend it's not there. You're a cranky, crabby old person. I get that. At least identify it. You know, maybe you're manipulative. I get that. You're insecure. Identify it. You know, you're all lovey-dovey, but you're faking it, and you know you're a liar. Identify it. It's okay. But just, when was the last time you thought about what you thought about? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, Luke chapter 6, the mouth speaks. So just sit back and watch what you speak. And then you begin to see something. And if you're not there, that's okay. Just because you failed, who cares? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you fall this short or that short, 100. Grace is the difference maker. But the one thing's for sure is you can never be changed until you recognize what it is. You can't just say, there's going to be a reformation because I'm just going to put a lick of paint on top of my Christian walk when it's all flaking out underneath because it's just going to come through. God says, you know what? I'm just going to have to strip you back. Submit to the process. So what do you speak? This leads to the next two questions, which is got corresponding actions. What do you see? What do you speak? What do you see? What do you see? What do you watch? What do you focus on? What grabs your attention? And what should you be seeing? What should you be looking out for? Hebrews 12, 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. See, some people have never seen a miracle take place before their eyes simply because they're not in church enough. Some people have never seen a transformed life because they never stick around and look at the lives close enough to see it. My favorite thing to do as a pastor is to watch people walk in this church one way and I see the transformation that takes place in their life because I'm here every week because I love it. You know, I'm not here every week because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor because I'm here every week. I was here every week long before they gave me the title. You know, the title is great. Yay for the title. I'm going to get to heaven and hold it up and it's going to get me on the quick line. And you know, that's just so not true. Some people believe that, I think, you know. You're going to get in the quick line and the easy line. Yeah, hey, pastor coming through. Thank you very much. It'll be very hilarious if T.D. Jakes is behind you. Hey, T.D., good to see you, man. Looks like we've got about 1 million years before they get to us. Let's have a chat. What do you see? And what do you hear? Are you listening to the word or are you listening to the world? Are the voices around you pulling you down or building up? Are they pulling people down or building them up? Because maybe you're not saying anything, but you're listening to people who are. Do they speak life or death? Do they cover their complaining, toxic words in Christianese so that you could just pray with them for their no good, lousy husband? Because I just want to share with you so you can pray, but it's toxic. And they're not speaking right. What should you be hearing? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you speak? These things are so important to us. As we close our eyes and bow our heads in this place. Jesus. I know God has spoken to some of you. I know some of you have really battled with normal. You know, God was speaking to me this week and it broke my heart so much. That there are people within the sound of my voice who have been battling with severe depression based on normal. Trying so hard to reach normal. And the tragedy of it is you don't know how you can ever win because we don't know what normal is. And you're just saying, Rick, I just want to feel better. I want to speak into that this morning and say that Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And at some point in your life, you have to stop believing what others are saying, and you have got to start listening and seeing what God is saying and what God is doing. He is our ever-present help in time of need. His presence and His grace is here for you. You are not a mistake. You are not at the end of your rope. You are not worthless. No, He paid a great price for you. You are not, in fact, just worth a lot. You are actually divine. You are actually divinely created. You're the most amazing thing that God has ever achieved in His creation. He celebrates it. Heaven rejoices before you. Angels will fear when you begin to get a revelation of who you are in Christ, because you are not normal. You're divine. You're divine. You're divine. You're divine. Let me speak it into your life. You are divine. You carry the image of your Father. God is in your life. His breath is on your lungs. You are divine. You are divine. You are divine. Heaven stands to attention when you begin to pray. You are carriers of the greatness of God. Jesus. Jesus. Maybe in this place, I don't know where everybody is in their walk, but it would be terrible of me to...